Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Got some things for you that I'm hoping are going to bless you tonight. And let's just pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for each and every person here. And I ask that you touch each and every heart, that this word that goes forth would be first of all, from you and not from me, and touch their hearts, and none of it gets stolen. None of it goes by the wayside. None of it ends up in rocky ground or in the thorns. That none of it gets stolen. That each and every word from you will remain. In Jesus' name. Okay, since I had no time to prepare, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about, what got me here, and I'll start off by way back. My parents weren't churchgoers. My parents got in a fight, and my mom brought me to church. They used to argue over who was right, Catholics or the Protestants, I guess that my dad called them. And so I end up in this Baptist church, and I was the last there. The preacher called for anybody who wants salvation, and it was me. And I know I was converted that day, and the trouble with it is I never went back. My parents weren't churchgoers. I had no idea what happened to me that day. And I had these deep convictions that I couldn't live up to, and it was really horrible. And it's one of the deep convictions was abortion. It's probably why I got 12 kids. I couldn't do that, even though sometimes in my life circumstances, the world would have said, you probably should abort. You can't raise kids. You're not fit. And I wasn't. But anyway, I started using drugs in sixth grade, right after I got born again, probably a year or two after that. I started using drugs and took two hits of acid on my first day of eighth grade. Wasn't a real good idea, but I did. By the time I was 21, I was an IV drug user, fully, gone. I contracted hepatitis C, and I'm going here somewhere with all this. And that's why when I hear he'll leave the 99 and go back for that one, that was me. He went back. He just never. He was like that song that it was called The Garden, but it's off an album called Relentless, and he was. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I just want to give credit real quick. To Lori and Holly, just who's happy they're back? I am. They're gone a long time. I'm really happy they're back. Real quickly want to give praise and honor to God. There's a guy came to work for me Saturday. Today, I don't know, the conversation switched and he's now born again. So he's ready to get baptized. So I'm really excited about that. Thank you, Jesus. So when they come to work for me, I know it's usually, especially if they're really bad at what they do, it's usually an agenda of his. So he's not really bad. He's actually a good worker. He just doesn't know how to paint. But God had another agenda. Even if he never works for me another day, I feel like, God had his way. Anyway, everybody knows, I just told you I had 12 kids, and I was married at 19, divorced by 21, and I had one child, and that I lost that child because I was such a deadbeat to adoption. She got remarried and adopted my son, and I hated that guy for years, even though he's actually doing me a favor. It took Jesus to show me that, but anyway, then I had two more with a girlfriend. And I ended up raising those boys, and then I had one with somebody else's wife. She had left her husband. She moved into Illinois. I met her, and she moved back to Kentucky, pregnant. And I didn't know my daughter, but I'm going somewhere with this. No. So anyway, that's the mess I made my life. I had hepatitis C, addicted to drugs, sleeping with women, and marrying none of them, and I had issues even when I tried to get my life right. A lot of you don't know that me and my wife have been we were in divorce court twice. It wasn't looking good. It wasn't really, you know, like she had a boyfriend and I had a girlfriend and we're still together. Praise God. She wanted her boyfriend. I didn't want my girlfriend. I wanted my wife, but it's another story. But I just want to, that's enough of the garbage that even though I was born again and these deep convictions that I couldn't live up to because I didn't know how. I didn't know who lived inside of me. I didn't know him. And I remember I got into this church, and it's a really good church, and I want to talk about some mile markers here. I got into this church, and I went, and this guy preached like he was in my living room, like everything on that Sunday. It was Father's Day, as a matter of fact, and actually, at that time, I was literally 4 years clean, and I thought I was doing good, but when I walked out of there, I felt like I was about this big. He tore me up, but he also challenged me. I like a challenge. As a man, I like to be challenged, and I knew I was on the wrong side of the sword, and I still didn't know how to get on the right side of the sword. So I went back, and I went to a Monday night prayer meeting, and I walked into the room, and my son sang that Jesus loves me, yes, I know, so many times that I was a piece of work. I told him to shut up. Like, I was annoyed that he kept singing this song, and I finally told him to shut up. And when I went to go to that prayer meeting that night, that song wouldn't leave my mind. It just, so I just prayed. And I said a silent prayer by myself in my truck on the way to this prayer meeting. I said, Lord, how come I don't know this love? How come I don't know you love me? I believe it probably says it in the Bible. I never read my Bible, but the song says it. I believe the Bible says it. How come I don't know this love? And I walked into that prayer meeting, and it was a lot like these groups. And they were teaching on praise and how praise is warfare. And I remember they stopped. They stopped what they were doing, and the lady looked at me, and she called me by name. And there's no way this woman knew my name. She says, John, do you know why you don't know the love of God? And I just fell into tears, like, I didn't even wait for the answer. Like, I was just, like, I was so blown away that he answered my prayer audibly, stopped the whole service to answer my prayer audibly, because I certainly couldn't hear from him at that time. So he turns out I did end up hearing the answer. It was because my father didn't know how to love me. It's not that my father didn't love me. It's that he just didn't know how to really show it. And my father was a policeman and a military man, and he wasn't born again. So we were raised like soldiers, just for the wrong army. So anyway, I did get clean. I got off drugs in 1995, but my life was still a mess. That's about all I did. I gave my drug use to God, and I didn't want to do that anymore. But my life was still a mess. And I just told you about it. I went to that church, and it blew me away. And that Wednesday, so I went Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and I just knew that I was supposed to go through the water. There wasn't one word preached about baptism, but it was the Holy Spirit's like, you need to go through the water. You need to go through the water tonight. And I'm like, I'm the only white guy in here. I am not doing that. I don't even have any clothes for that. And I'm like making excuses. Like, I'm not going through the water tonight. And so a guy behind me that doesn't know me taps me on the shoulder and says, you need to be baptized tonight, don't you? And I was like, yes, I do. And you didn't have to sign up and do all the classes. They gave you the class right there, and they put you in the water. So I was a cigarette smoker at that time, and I got out of that water, and I literally didn't know any better. Everybody I knew smoked except for the people in that church. And so I literally, but every cigarette after that, I could clearly hear him saying, I've taken that from you. You don't need to do that anymore. He delivered me from smoking in the water. Don't tell me it's just a formal act for, it's more than that. Baptism is more than that. It's more than just an act of obedience. Something happens in that water. It did for me. I can tell you another story that could go right along with that. So I was filled with the Holy Ghost in that church, and I didn't really know what that meant, and I still had a lot of convictions I couldn't live up to. I got married in that church, and I still was a piece of work, you know, and I married my wife, and you know, we're pretty much two bad apples, and we tried to make an apple pie, and it didn't work so well, and mostly me. You know, I had a lot of lust issues. I had a lot of stuff I couldn't get rid of, and I didn't know how to get rid of it. Honestly, I had no clue how to get free. And I learned to pray. That's how I learned to pray. I learned to pray because my life was a mess, and I didn't want this. I believe my heart was right. I didn't want to live like that. I just couldn't stop doing what I was doing. So I learned to pray, but a lot of times what he would do is he would just show me the truth. That's how I got free. Like he wouldn't. There was times I got miracles from those prayers, but they were only short lived because I still didn't know the truth, and that's what I was missing in my life in the first place. And that's how I ended up in those jams anyway. So I want to talk a lot about the word abide and what he showed me, a lot of the truth that he showed me. There's that song that set your eyes upon Jesus, look right into his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And that includes the stuff that I couldn't get rid of. So I at some point, I stopped trying to be a Christian. I started to just want to find a way to just stay looking into his face. And I believe that those things, and Scripture backs it up, like all over the place, that it says, 1 John 2:6, he who abides in him ought to himself walk just as he walked. Is that a crazy statement? He walked sinless for one, and that was my biggest issue. I couldn't get free. So obviously I didn't know how to abide. And oh my God. So walk just as he walked, and later on in life, the gifts after going to that one church, the gifts like totally like, I want that, you know, I want to walk in these gifts, but I don't know that Jesus walked in gifts. I believe he walked in the fullness of Christ, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and Paul talks about in the book of Galatians that he was still worried about the Galatians, because they weren't mature, they weren't filled, and he was worried about it. And he wrote it, I believe, in chapter 4, that he's just worried about them, and certainly I just want to be full, you know. And then he goes on to say that he had all the right lineage. He was a teacher of teachers, like he knew the Bible better than, I mean, he was teaching it to others. But he counts it all dung for the knowledge of him. I needed to know him. I needed to abide in him. So that's what I started to do. I got in the prayer closet, and it said that he will openly reward you. If what you do in secret, he'll openly reward you. And then, I mean, they talk about it here in this meeting all the time, that get into your secret place, get into your secret place. And that's what I do. And sometimes it never gets past worship. If that's what God wants to do today, I sing to him. I sing to him the whole time. It doesn't matter. It's about him in there. And I'm not praying for John. I'm not praying for me. I'm not praying for it. None of that stuff matters. What matters is knowing him in that time. That's all I want. That's all I want to do is know him in that time. Because, you know, that the scripture talking about a mustard seed. You only need a mustard seed. I'm thinking, well, why do I need to build up my faith if all I need is this mustard seed? And that used to just baffle me. And I'd be like, But it all makes sense if you know them. Say somebody that doesn't, I don't know. I'm just going to use the example if that's okay. So she doesn't know me. She needs $100. Does it take faith for her to ask me? Or say my daughter's sitting right here and she's like, Dad, I need $100. See, my daughter's doing it out of relationship. She don't even need any faith. That's why she only needs a mustard seed, because she's like, if Dad's got it, he's giving it to me, if I got a good reason at least. But she needs faith to ask me, because she doesn't even know me. So knowing him is the key to all this, and for me anyway. He already says, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. I could get free by the knowledge of him. So I just stopped trying to be a good Christian. It didn't work. Chronicles 7:14, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Not seek freedom, seek his face. Turn from their wicked ways, and I'll hear from them and heal their land. I don't know about you, but my land was a mess. You know, I messed it up good. I had kids that didn't even know I existed, and kids lost in adoption. I had two kids that I raised that had no respect for me because they were raised in addiction. And then obviously these eight that I have with my wife don't know any of that. They're like, it's funny. Sometimes they'd be like, oh, Dad used to drink? Praise God, they've never seen that. I spent most of my years in that terrible cycle of it talks about it in three Gospels. It talks about it in Matthew. It talks about it in Mark. It talks about it in the book of Luke. It talks about why the word doesn't work. Does it ever make you mad? Like you see somebody in church and they're just like on fire and they say a prayer and it works. And you're like, I've been praying for that same thing for years. And it just works for them, you know? I stayed in those three grounds forever. And I'd read that story and I'm like, oh, I'm in the thorny ground. I'm in the ground with no soil. I would just stay in this cycle, and sometimes I'd be in all three backgrounds. There's only one that bears fruit. And you know what? Because of my personality, once I get fruit, I'm not there for the 30-fold. I'm not. If I'm gonna do this, I want it all. I do. I want everything that Jesus paid for. Everything. I mean, he paid a mighty high price, don't you think? Don't you agree? He got beat beyond recognition for me. And if he did that for me, I want what that cost him. Because he thought it was worth it. So the only thing that's only person that's going to keep me from getting that is me. It's staying in those three grounds that don't produce fruit. The word produces fruit. It should work every time, you know. And I found that praying out of fear never worked. You end up praying principles out of fear that never even work. I could find it in the Bible, but I was in so much fear that it really didn't matter. It wasn't of faith. So if you could get out of there and just believe this stuff is true, this holy word of God is true. He says, he who abides in him ought to, I already read that. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you desire and it shall be done unto you. Is that amazing? Do we got to strive for that? No, we just abide in him. It's a place where prayer is answered. Not finding it in your Bible and saying it a bunch of times till it works. Never worked for me. But the place of abiding, the place where you're not asking for stuff. I, 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 the stuff I sat there and prayed for years and years and years comes not even by trying, just by sitting in my prayer closet with the one thing I'm trying to do is know him. And the stuff I've been asking for years happens. I must have had the cart before the horse there or something, because it wasn't working. But if I just sit there with him with no agenda but to know him, then it works. It works for me every time. And I really did want the gifts, and I really loved the gifts. And because honestly, the only gifts for yourself is the gift of your prayer language. That's the only one that it says it edifies us. But I like I said, I had hepatitis C, and God took it, and I never prayed for him to remove it. I don't have it. I even got to minister to the nurse that called me, because every year, if you have hepatitis C, you get on the list. That you get on a government list, you're on the government list, and you know every time they check you, your numbers, and most of it, for years my numbers just stayed the same. I don't know how it works. I don't know what the numbers mean, but they stayed the same, meaning it's not attacking my liver at that point. But then my numbers disappeared, and she said, "That's impossible." And she said, "What did you do?" I said, "It's not about what I did. It's about who I know." And like I was, when that actually happened to me, I was very immature and I didn't know him well, and it helped me. It's a mile marker. It helped me to know him, that when that disappeared, it changed something in me. Well, I got to tell her all about Jesus, but that it changed something in me. I was like, this God that by his stripes you are healed, it's for real. I've been saying that principle for 20 years, but now it's real. It happened to me. And in my immaturity, I never asked him. I figured, well, I slept with people I shouldn't have, and I shared needles with people I shouldn't have. I deserve this. But obviously God says, nope, you are my redeemed. You're bought back to original plan and purpose, and I guess hepatitis C wasn't part of that. So praise God. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I bears much fruit. I was trying to bear fruit, didn't work too good. Without me, you could do nothing, and that was me. I really wanted to be a super Christian. And I was a flop. I was so terrible. You wouldn't even know I was a Christian most of the time. It's like, yeah. But again, I said my heart was right. I really wanted to be right. I really wanted to live and present Jesus. But I was trying to present Jesus. It didn't work. I didn't know about abiding in him and what that exactly meant. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And Lori says it all the time. Teach me to walk in the Spirit. Teach me to walk in the Spirit. If I do any prayers for myself, it's that. Teach me how to abide in you. Teach me how to abide in you all day. Teach me the walk of the Spirit, because I do not. Nobody needs to see John Sparendio. Nobody needs to. They need to see a living Christ, especially starting with my children. It says start at Jerusalem. That means start at your house. So, yeah, I'm not to the ends of the earth. I need to start at my house. And they need to see Jesus in me. They just, my kids need to see Jesus. And I sit there in that prayer closet, and sometimes, it turns into a revival meeting. Next thing I know, I got a dog, a cat, and a couple of kids. And, you know, they're all in there praising God with me and doing what Dad does. But nobody ever told me this stuff. I went to church for years, and nobody ever told me to abide in Christ. And that's your answer. Stop They're like, you got to stop doing that. Well, if you live like that, there's going to be consequences. I know. I'm a living consequence. But nobody ever taught me this stuff. And it was amazing. A couple of weeks ago, my son's girlfriend came, and she's like telling my son, I can hear it. She said, when's church tomorrow? She wants to come to church with us. He don't even want to go, but he's like, I'll ask. So that means he's got to go. And so I look at her, I'm like, are you even born again? Why do you want to go to church? Are you even born again? She's like, what's that mean? And if I said these churches, she was raised in church. And if I said these churches, you guys would all know what they were. And she's like, nobody, I told her the gospel. And she's like, no, I went there for years. Nobody ever told me that. I'll accept Jesus. That sounds really good. That sounds a whole lot better than what I'm doing. I'm like, now you have a reason to go to church. Before you didn't. Especially if they ain't going to teach you what the gospel is. So, and I'm not picking on the church. She said, I heard a lot of great messages while I was there. But none of the messages matter unless you're in him. Living the way I've lived in the past, the lifestyle I came out of and stuff like that, and these mile markers in my life, the reminders, like you can read the Bible and you could take the principle but when it's you, when you can say God did this on this day, I mean, everybody knows. Probably everybody except for you knows my wife in this room. They're probably like, oh, maybe you don't. He married up. God showed favor on me just with my wife. Just like for me to be married to that woman is just amazing. Like that is God's favor on my life. To have the children that we have, and especially, a lot of you even know the story. Anaya wasn't supposed to make it. They told us to abort at 20 weeks. They said, if you don't abort this baby, your wife's going to die. That's pretty, and I wasn't in faith. I really, when they said that, I was in fear because I got woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning with my wife bleeding. I thought, well, if she's bleeding, I don't know anything about female anatomy. I'm thinking we're going to lose this baby, And then they tell you all the female anatomy, and now I'm even more confused than before she's just bleeding. And they said, you have a healthy baby girl basically going to kill your wife if you don't abort. So I'm like, well, and I'm not in faith. I'm really not in faith. I'm listening to everything they say, and I'm scared, and my wife's crying, and I'm like, and it started with, they told us it's a girl. I'm like, we should name her. We should ask God what her name is, because that's how all we got all our children's names. We just prayed, and that's why all the boys end in E-L, by the way. And all we got left, if we had another boy, it'd have to be Ezekiel because we're out of E-Ls. But anyway, she looked at me an hour after praying, and she said, her name is Anaya, and I never heard the name. I'm like, that's beautiful. And it like hit my spirit, and I'm like, what's that mean? She says, I don't know. So we looked it up, and it literally means favorite of God. And I just, there's a boldness came over me. I'm like, bring the next doctor in here. We got something for him. And I was just like, no. And I, under my breath, I'm like, I break those words in the name of Jesus. And I just got kind of bold with him. I'm like, that's not going to happen. And I left. And I remember it was a snowstorm. And they wouldn't let, it was during COVID, so I couldn't stay with her overnight. And I had a bunch of kids at home anyway, so I couldn't stay with her overnight. I turned on praise music because I remember praise is warfare. And he flooded my car in such a magnificent way. And I was a Holy Ghost drunk driver that night. I have no clue. I think I got teleported to my house because I have no clue how I got there. I needed windshield wipers for my eyes. And I got home and I called her and I said, it's the environment. It's the environment you're in, because you know what? God's in this. God just flooded my car, and his full glory was in my car. And I don't think he did that to let me know my baby's going to die. He did that to let me know this baby's going to live. And I don't care what the doctors say anymore. And then doctors hated me. Every time I left, they tried to get my wife to, like, get rid of the crazy guy. We'll get her to abort when he's not around. But when I started to tell her stuff like that, and then she literally, they kicked her out of the hospital. They're like, you're going to Sinai. We're not dealing with you. And she literally, I'm telling her all this. They kick her out, and she's crying because she's reading the reviews on Sinai. And she opens her Bible randomly. Psalm 68, and it says, Sinai is going to shake at the presence of God. Another boulder. I'm like, I'm praying for all these sick people, too. Hospital full. This is like a candy store for me. You know, like, this lady's like, I got diabetes. Like, I got a hand for you. You know, I'm just praying for people, you know. So, anyway, mile marker. You know, anytime I get shaken like that, I can read my Bible, or I can go back to my very old mile markers. I can say, oh no, you remember when I was a drug addict? Remember when he freed me from that? Remember when he filled me with his spirit? Remember, I just go through my own stuff. And I build my own faith. And he said that to David. He told him that to not count his blessings, but he had to go through the list. All these people are coming against him, but he went through the list, and he's like, oh, no, I am the king. So, and knowing him, I just want to tell you one more story about Paul. Paul knew his end. He knew his end, but he knew by knowing God. He knew that he was going to die in Rome. So he didn't need a whole, when he got beaten and left for dead, he knew it wasn't the end because he knew it wasn't in Rome. So knowing him was key. He knew when the snake bit him and he was on the island of Patmos or something like that. I don't know if I said that properly, but he knew the snake wasn't going to kill him because he wasn't in Rome. He knew his end was in Rome. So knowing him, if you get anything else out of this, is knowing him and abiding in his presence. And, you know, that's why I really, you know, love about Spirit of God. I can just come in here even before the music starts. I could close my eyes and be in his presence. And I believe that God handpicked me to come to these meetings and know you folks and know Holly and Lori. And, you know, I remember at the Grand Geneva just laying in back. I was just laying on the floor, kind of like John was. And he showed me a picture. And I'm like, ooh, what's that? And he said, John, that's your heart. I'm like, oh, not too good. And it was like I thought I was on an eagle, but I'd never really seen an eagle. But I was over some beautiful landscape. I'll tell you that, some beautiful places that I've never seen before, and some colors I'd never seen before. And I was like, Lord, what's this? He said, this is for your entertainment while I work on your heart. You know, I mean, that's the kind of God that I got to know. Knowing him is everything. You know, so if you got a prayer list in your prayer closet, I'm going to ask you to throw it away and just get to know him. Paul said, all this stuff is dung, all of it, except for the knowledge of you. And I'm going to close with that. And I don't know how much time I use on, but anyway, I love to pray for the sick. Is anybody sick? Got anything? It says, if you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It says in James, if any of them sick among them, let them lay hands on them. And if there's any sin, they shall be forgiven. They're always connected. He paid one payment for all. Like you can be physically healed, you can be forgiven, you can be mentally healed. If you got some stuff going on, you're trying to be a Christian. Any of that going on? Let's pray. You know, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. I hope I gave you enough scripture to praise God. Praise God. Okay, fluid in your lungs. You believe Jesus can heal you right now. Right now. So you have pneumonia then?
I don't know what I have, but it's still okay. Virus. It's hard to get rid of.
Okay. Not for him, though.
No.
It says, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Shall, is there any doubt in that word for you? I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Maybe recover? They shall recover. It's a pretty powerful word. Think he put that in by accident? No, he didn't. He didn't do that on accident, did he? He said, you know, he was beaten beyond recognition for this. For this. Think he would have paid that high a price if he didn't want it out of your body?
Right.
Okay. It's not about, I didn't pay tithe last week, it didn't, or I'm not this, or I'm trying to be a Christian, or I didn't do this right. It's none of that. It's about he paid for it. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in the name of Jesus, I command all the fluid to leave her lungs. I command her right now, head to toe, to be made whole. Be made whole right now in the name of Jesus. Any sickness and disease, I command you to leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. Go. You have no business here. You're a trespasser. Go in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Be made whole. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else?
So I have been walking out my healing for some autoimmune stuff and kidneys, and some symptoms are starting to return.
Okay.
So I want help standing on that truth and agreement that it okay. is gone and by his stripes.
Okay. So it is gone.
Yes.
By his stripes, past tense. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what the symptoms are. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like it's a lot about, it's all about what you believe.
Yeah.
Okay, don't believe these symptoms. Speak to them.
Yeah.
Okay, they come, say you have no business here. Go, and then in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, so we're gonna do that, and then if they return, you tell them yourself. Okay, speak to this mountain. Okay, they're not even a mountain. They're probably not even worthy of talking to. Okay?
Okay.